Our scripture this morning, I'm going to read from Exodus and part of it at the 20th chapter. And before I start this, I'll say my prayer. Lord, give me the words to comfort the people, your people. Let them see all of thee and none of me. I'm just a messenger. Father God, this is my prayer. Amen. Exodus reads, And God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought me out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon his children unto the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the seventh day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and all do all thy work. But the seventh day is the seventh of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt not do any work. Thou shalt not thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the strangers that within the stages. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, or his things that is in thy neighbor's. And all of the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and got and stood afar off. I'm not going to say sermon. My speech this morning is, do you know whose you are? And I know we got a lot of educators out there. We got a lot of teachers and former teachers. And you might say, Milton, that's not the way that's supposed to say. It should say, do you know who you are? Well, that's man talking. I'm asking you, do you know whose you are? You see, you could be a child of God, or you could be in the world, and you could be a follower of Satan. So I'm asking you this morning, do you know whose you are? Can you truthfully say to yourself, I'm a child of God? I want to do those things that's pleasing in the eyesight of God. I want to be able to walk out among men, women, boys, and girls and let them know that I'm not afraid to say I know God for my personal Savior. I know that Jesus died, bled and died on the cross. You know, probably a lot of you watch those TV shows, the law shows where they have DNA. Somebody wants to know, am I the father? Or, you know, there's no question about the mother. But do you know who is your father? You know, if they looked at my DNA, there would probably be parts of Lloyd McDaniel, parts of Mildred Bourne. That would be the makeup of Milton McDaniel. But I wanted to say this. I think I would love to have a third part of my DNA. And when they search the blood, it'd be just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they put them in the fire furnace, you know, and when they opened it up, they said, told the king, didn't we put three in there? But Lord, I think I see four. And the fourth one was the son of Jesus. I like to see that when they check my DNA, there would be a third part, and that would be the blood of Jesus. That would make me whole. That would make me feel like that I've is his son. His son. I ask you once again, do you know who that you belong to? It's so easy to follow the days and the ways of the world nowadays. Some of us realize that we think that we're doing what we should do for the Lord, but yet still we can't extend a hand to our neighbor that's in need. It's so easy to sit in our homes and be comfortable when there's others that walk the streets at night that have nowhere to lay their head. How can we say that we know whose we are if we don't do his work? If we can't extend the hand to help those that's less fortunate than ourselves, and I don't mean financially, I mean giving them words of encouragement and letting them know that there is a God. There is a God that hears and answers prayer. Somebody may be out there saying, you know, I prayed a long time for this and I prayed a long time for that. God never answered my prayer. And I'm here this morning to tell you that's wrong. God gave us a promise. He said, I will hear and answers your prayer. You see, God has three answers. Sometimes he'll say no. Sometimes he'll say yes. But then again, he may say wait. But he always answers your prayer. He may not think that you are ready to handle whatever it is that you're asking for. But he says, knock and the door shall be open. Ask and it shall be given unto thee. But it will not be on our time, it will be on God's time. So often that we feel that if things are not going right in my life, I'm going to make somebody else's life miserable. Then you don't know whose you are. Satan is powerful. Satan is out there and he lives every day. And he's just looking for the weak Christian to bring him over on the other side. Therefore, it's just great to be a praying person. You may say to yourself, I never thought I needed to pray. But God says, give me the glory. I am a jealous God. You may have your cars, you may have your new homes and everything, but don't forget who allowed you to have them. You know, we can do nothing on our own by ourselves. Some people say, hey, I got this, I got that. Look what I got. You know, my job afforded me to have this and afforded me to have that. Do you know that there are people right now laying on their beds of affliction that's millionaires that would give all of the money that they have in the world just to be able to put one foot before the other? And they can't do that. So it's not what you got here in this world, but it's what you will receive in the world wherever that you choose to go to. I say to yourself this morning, do you know whose you are? Have you ever checked yourself? You don't need nobody else to tell you how to live your life. That I read right there is a manuscript. He gave us all that we need to know how to live for him. He gave us all that we need in this book, how to live day by day. Some of you have weekly planners. But you see, tomorrow is not promised to no one. You could write down anything that you want to in that weekly planner and plan on going on a trip next month. But without the grace of God, without His mercy, you won't be able to open your eyes tomorrow. You know, the muscles in the eyelids are the smallest muscle in the body. And without His grace and His mercy, you can't lift your eyelid to save your life if He doesn't allow us to do that. We need to figure out just whose we are. Do we belong to God, or do you think God belongs to us? Satan is powerful, and he's out there on it every day. He's looking for those weak Christians to come on over to his side. We never thought that we would be in the world, would be in the shape that it's in now. Here in America, the land of milk and honey. Right now, we don't know from day to day if we're going to be in a war. You know, there's leaders, and all leaders are not sanctified. And I say sanctified, what I mean, they're not all children of God. They're led by themselves, their own ideas. They don't know exactly who they are. Once again, Satan is so powerful. Satan can make the diamonds shine and the gold glitter. But you know, all that glitter is not gold. There's a thing they call fool's gold. It glitters, it shines, it attracts, but you know what? It's good for nothing other than to admire. It can't buy you happiness. So this morning, once again, I'm just asking, do you know whose you are? You don't have to go around and tell somebody, I'm a child of God. God knows your heart. He knows every thought before you even think it. You can show action speaks louder than words. We come here on Sundays, we gather together, we listen to the preacher, we listen to the sermons, and there still, can we walk out of this church and tell someone else, have a blessed day. May God be with you throughout the week. I'll pray for the sickness your loved ones are having. Can we do that, or do we just get up and leave and think that we're all done what we're supposed to do because we allowed ourselves to come into, and this is the house of the Lord. There is no such thing as my church. This is God's church. He allowed us to assemble ourselves together, and we do it because we want to be a part of His kingdom, a part of His family. Lord, you chose some very nice songs to sing today. You made it easy for me to speak because of the songs that you chose. I want to be part of the family of God. But you got to know for yourself whose you are. Search your own souls. I don't need to tell you. You listen to sermons day after day. You can turn on the television or listen to the preachers. You know, my former pastor's wife, she stopped by the other day at the museum and she said, Brother McDaniel, I'm glad to be back in a small town. I was in Charlotte, South Carolina, and I went to a mega church and all I had was a number. My number was the 1,168. That's a big church. And she said, you know, I kept saying, Lord, did you put me here for a reason or shall I move on? She also told me something that was very disturbing. No one could talk to the preacher, the pastor. He had armed guards around him to keep him, people away from him. And I thought, do those people know whose they are? Are they serving God? Are they serving Satan? Are they serving self to make himself feel good? If you're just a number, I don't want to be a number. I want to be able to look and see my name written in the book of heaven. I want to be able to look and know for myself that my name is wrote in heaven. I want to be able to walk the streets paved with gold. I want to be able to look to heaven and say, this is my home. I want to be able to know that God is my Savior. I want to be able to know whose I am. I'm not trying to put fright into you today, but this is something that you should ask yourself. Am I living for God or I'm living for self? And if you are, you know yourself. Make that change in life. Be able to know what your DNA says. Make sure that you know that there is a third part of your DNA that will show the blood of Jesus. And with that, with your last breath, you can take knowing that you're going to a place, to a heavenly home. Knowing that you're going to a place that you will be able to say, howdy, howdy, you'll see your loved ones. You see those that went on before you. You'll be able to just sit there and talk about the times that you had in Boskydale Church. You'll be able to talk about all things if you know where you're going. But everybody that talk about heaven ain't going there. You got to know for yourself just what God has in store for you. God says, once again, knock and the door shall be open. Ask and you will receive. You see, he's not a God that will make us do anything. He's not going to open the door for us unless we ask to come in. You know, a lot of times we think, what has God done for me? Not realizing, once again, we can't get up in the morning if it wasn't for him. You know about the parable where the one pair of footsteps in the sand, and he says, God, why didn't you hear my prayer? God, why didn't you help me when I was alone? And what was his answer? I did. I carried you. That's why there was only one set of footprints, because I, the Lord Jesus Christ, carried you. When we leave here today, know that we have a Savior that can carry us through whatever the obstacles that we're facing in life. Whatever it is that seem to have you down or become a burden to you or for you, remember, we have a God, an almighty God. His shoulders are broad enough to carry us all at the same time. But you got to ask. You got to knock. You got to make the first step. If you take the first step to knowing whose you are, he'll take two. As we go from here today, I start to joke and say, lock the doors so when nobody leave. But I thought, well, that may not be the thing to say. And I'm also supposed to watch that clock, because if they say if you go to talking, or even if you're preaching over 20 minutes, then you start talking about the world, something out in the world. You can get your message across within 20 minutes to those that are listening. And those that's going to turn a deaf ear to whatever's being talked about or preached, you can talk to them all day long, and they're not going to change. It's up to you to know that you want to change. You want to be the best that you can be. Search yourself. You don't have to have anybody else to tell you what to do. That I read, those Ten Commandments, those Ten Commandments tell us what we need to do in life. And it's hard to do it unless we change our wicked ways and ask God to give us the footsteps to walk in. I thank you for listening to me this morning. It may not be a shouting message, but it's a message that I think that each and every one of us can leave here today with some thought on our mind. Have I done all that I can do to please the Lord that I serve? Or have I done what Satan himself, or doing what Satan himself would love for me to do. So this day, as you leave here, I'd like for you to just ask, do you know whose you are? Thank you, and have a blessed day.